on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast, my friend, my brother from NBC Sports Philadelphia, the analyst on the pre- and post-game show, two-time Emmy winner, and, you know, co-host of Breakfast with Brothers, Brothers with the Breakfast, whatever we used to call it here when we used to do the show together. What's up, B?
We talking about the blue line, baby.
Right, exactly. We did that, too. Yeah, what's going on, man?
Everything good, man. Everything's good. We got football. I'm about to watch football, and we got an Eagles game on Sunday. Life can't get any better right now.
Absolutely, bro. Man. Well, look, let's just start right here. The big story, of course, over like the last week and a half has been when Brandon Brooks, of course, went down, Jason Peters comes back. You and I talked about all of this stuff in the offseason when you joined the show. He then returns. We know he's going to play right guard. Then Andre Dillard, your favorite offensive lineman, he goes down, and you need somebody to kick out to the left side. That will be Jason Peters. And then the money thing came up. At the end of the day, it all worked out. He's back on the left side. Do you feel like at this point, with all the stuff that has happened in general, do you feel like he can hold up on the left side for 16 games?
Well, at this point, that's going to be the most optimal offensive line you can have. It's Jason Peters at the left tackle position. You know, I really didn't care if Andre Dillard was healthy enough to play. There's no way you could tell me that a healthy Andre Dillard, 100%, is better than even a 70% Jason Peters. I mean, you have to have him in the lineup at the left tackle position. And then you put Matt Pryor in at the right guard position. Now we have, what, four-fifths of that starting off the line from last year? You can run the ball, you can pass the ball with that lineup. They're not going to miss a beat. As long as Jason Peters stays healthy and we get Lane back playing this week, we'll be all good on the offensive line. You know, everybody's, you know, doom and gloom right now. Just chill out a little bit. Chill out a little bit. They will be fine at the offensive line. In fact, if you're going to, you know, we would have had to push the line protection over to Andre Dillard to help him. Now, if you really look at it, you can still do that to help Jason Peters. Now you're helping a Pro Bowler. So, I mean, this offense will run great with those guys in there. Matt Pryor has done enough to show me that he can be a player out there. So, yes, I'm good with it.
What does he do best at the right guard spot, Matt Pryor, for the Birds filling in for Brooks?
Occupy space. He's a big kid, man. That's all he has to do is occupy space. Don't give ground, occupy space. I mean, you don't even have to come off the ball really as a run blocker when you have a guy that's that big, you know, with the skill set that Jason Kelce has. It puts you in a position now that you can move guys on offensive line in the run game. And then in the pass game, you just can't get around him. He's just a big guy. You can't get around him.
All right, again, you know, Barrett Brooks, of course, longtime NFL offensive lineman, Super Bowl champ with the Pittsburgh Steelers, said the Eagles offensive line will be just fine. Let's all relax. And as we continue to look at the offensive side of the football, man, here we know the quarterback Carson Wentz coming back. Hopefully we get another full 16 out of him this year. With the added weapons that he has, how do you look at this season for him? Will you look at more of a 2017 type of year with the MVP, or like last season in 2019 campaign where he struggled a bit, picked up late? Where do you see Carson Wentz coming back for, what is this, year number four now for him?
He's going into his fifth year.
And
I think the biggest thing with Carson going into this year, that he learned something. He learned he didn't just have to focus on Zach Ertz being his only line that he could, you know, go to during difficult times during the game. He always wanted to go to Zach Ertz. Now he showed that, all right, not only can I go to Zach Ertz, but I now have a Dallas Goedert I can go to. I now have guys, you know, create separation, you know, with Greg Ward Jr. I mean, we're not even talking about this kid, but he was able to go out there and play in an offense the last four games, create separation, and allow that team to win the last four games to get into the playoffs. Carson Wentz learned that he can now, you know, go out there and manufacture an offense, even though he didn't have the deep threats that he has this year. Now he has a legitimate take the top off receiver in D-Jax. If he's healthy, you have to respect his speed, which is going to pull somebody out of the box. Now you can run the ball with a light box with now your bell cow back with Sanders. It gives you an opportunity now to open up the middle of the field. Now Zach Ertz and Goddard can work in. Because, I mean, I think that's going to be the number one personnel package they're going to have is 12 personnel. One tight end, I mean, one running back and two tight ends. Those two can control it. They're probably the best tandem in the league as far as tight ends, which will open up everything for now Jalen Reagor, who practiced today, full practice, and now on the outside you got D-Jack. This is going to be an offense, you know, that they get it going. they're going to be really good, you know, towards the middle of the season.
Barrett Brooks, NBC Sports Philadelphia, longtime NFL offensive lineman, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Barrett, sticking with the offense that you just mentioned, Miles Sanders, year number two. He was fantastic his rookie year, really established himself when Jordan Howard went down and handled the reins as the key, the bell cow, if you will, at the running back spot. Right now, looking at year number two for him, can he hold up? And if so, ideally, how many touches would you like to see him have?
Well, he's going to have to run. They're going to have him run a well-balanced offense. And in order for him to do that, he has to be the guy that's going to be in the game. If you want him to go out there and be in all the personnel packages. See, when you go with that running back by committee, it kind of pigeonholes you into running specific plays for specific running backs. And defense is key into it. It makes you too predictable as an offense. And, you know, so when you have Sanders in there, first down, second down, third down, and even fourth down. Now it's hard for the defense to really pick what type of personnel package they're going to want on the field. Because you knew when you had like a guy like LeGarrette Blount in there, he's going to be running through the tackles, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Then when you bring Sproles in there, Sproles is a guy that, you know, he's going to be one of the third down backs. So they're going to put in their nickel personnel. You can't be that, you know, obvious as far as your personnel packages to put the defense and let them guess more accurately what type of offense you're going to run. When you have Sanders in there and he's running every play, then it gives you autonomy now to be very open in what you want to run as an offense, because he can run it between the tackles. He can get the hard yards, the third and two. He's big enough, but he can also catch out of the backfield with Texas routes and, you know, little angle routes and wheel routes. So there'll be a more balanced offense because you can't pick out what they're going to do. So that's why I say I wanted that Bell Towel type of back, the back that, you know, he trusts. And that's exactly what I talk. When I talk to coach, that's exactly what Doug Peterson said. I want a guy that I can trust, because you're going to need a guy like that in November when it's cold outside. And when you get to playoff situations, you're going to need that back to really take over a game. And he really feels though he has that back in Miles Sanders.
I can't wait to see it. And quickly, just before we get to the defensive side, do you feel like they have enough at the running back position with Scott and Clement behind them?
I tell you what, Clement really showed me a little bit in camp. Clement's gotten a lot better. He's gotten a lot faster. I think he's a more encompassing back now. I think he's going to do well at being that back. That if they do have him come in, he could be more versatile in what he brings to the table. He's not just a guy that catches screen plays and runs draws. He can do a lot more. He can run it between the practice. He showed me a little something this year that he didn't have, you know, previous years.
Okay. All right. And on the other side, man, they finally went out. As you know, we know the defensive front is phenomenal. Adding Hargrave, getting a healthy Fletcher Cox back, and Derek Barnett. We'll see what happens with him. You know how I feel about him. And Malik Jackson, as you stated before, kicking out sometimes to the left side. But they finally go out there, Barrett, and they get themselves a number one corner. How important is that with Darius Slay being here with that front four, and now no Malcolm Jenkins, having that number one corner to shut down that receiver on the other side?
We're going to be able to breathe easier now. We finally have guys that can come in and cover. I mean, Ronald Darby, I mean, he just wasn't physical enough to be that type of cornerback. You know, he would get deboed by, you know, receivers like Parker from Miami. They would just jump over him. They now have guys that can go out and run the type of defenses that, you know, Coach Schwartz wants. If they have a number one receiver, a guy that's going to really go out there and ball, they now have a shutdown corner they can put on him. Big play Slay can now shut that guy down. And then they have versatility at the guys on the outside. I've always thought Mavonte Maddox was the best cover guy we had the past 2 years. Having one on one side, we have Roby Coleman at that slot. And even if they do go out there and he has and Big Play Slay has to follow the best receiver, they now have, you know, guys that could be interchangeable. They could switch flip-flop on both sides. They couldn't do that first. You know, they were just one-sided. And with the addition of Jalen Mills being at his natural position, which is like a nickel or safety type of player, he can really go out there and dictate the tempo as far as being that guy that you can put anywhere on the field. We're not going to say at Malcolm Jenkins level yet, but he will eventually be that guy. He was an average corner with speed. I think he's going to be an above average safety with the speed he has at the safety position.
Okay, and you like Avante Maddox as the second corner starting opposite Slay?
Absolutely. He's a dog out there. He's going to be physical, and that's all you want. You want somebody to compete. And, you know, just like I played with Mighty Mouse for 3 years, you know, Mark McMillan went out there and he dictated tempo. He wanted to go out there and show you with a chip on his shoulder that he can play. Well, Avante Maddox has that same type of dog in him. He'll compete. I think he'll go out there and he'll be doing fine as far as being a guy that can shut down that number two receiver.
All right, and Barrett, how do you feel overall about this team in the NFC East? Can they take the crown in the NFC East? And how much of a challenge, of course, are the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, it's going to be a tale of two seasons. I mean, the beginning of this season, there's going to be nobody that's going to look right. I mean, teams won't get their identity probably till their fourth or fifth game on who they are and what they bring to the table as a team. But as they, you know, get more and more into it, all those guys, you know, will learn the culture of what McCarthy wants in Dallas. So give them an opportunity, you know, to get better also. They got a new defensive coordinator to learn the defense. And they have some guys that can rush the passer. So, I mean, they're going to be a formidable offense. I mean, they had defense and they had, you know, Kellen Moore was their offensive coordinator last year. So it'll be kind of familiar with what they're trying to do there. But at the end of the day, we all know in this division, this is going to be a very competitive division between the two of them, the Eagles and Dallas. And at this point, I really put my money on this Eagles team because I think they're more suited to beat the Dallas team now that they have some defensive backs to cover those receivers. It won't be as easy as it was the years past. They're not throwing against Rasul Douglas anymore. They have a guy that can cover Amari Cooper now, which kind of evens the playing field now. Now you just can't go out there and run play action on them now because they have a guy to cover them now. So, I mean, it's really going to be a great, great division this year as far as, you know, with Dallas and the Eagles, you know, going head-to-head. And I think the winner of the second game is really going to be the team that's going to eventually go to the playoffs.
Okay, and you said teams will be kind of behind 4 or 5. You'll really get to see the real team of whoever it might be, the Eagles, Chiefs, whoever it may be. Is that because of the pandemic and the lack of preseason games?
It was already bad football, you know, even the past 5 years,
okay,
with, you know, teams resting their starters,
right,
and not, you know, even in the preseason. So they really didn't get to where they needed to be as offenses and defenses until like the fourth or fifth game where they gained their identity. Well, this year might be even worse because nobody had any preseason games. Nobody knows what they're good at. They've been practicing against each other. They haven't had real live snap, real live bullets against anybody else but themselves. So we'll see what this Eagles team is and what, you know, what they amount to, and all the other teams in the NFL will be the same way. Until they figure out who they are, what their identity is, it's going to be an up and down season. And I'm anxious to see, you know, who's really turned the corner as far as the team in this division. I mean, say what you want to say, Judge and with the Giants. I mean, he's taking them back to high school football, running them if they do something wrong. I mean, come on now. You got grown men out there. You know, you can't run guys like that. But then you do have a veteran coach, with this Washington team, but, you know, I mean, also with Jack Del Rio being their defensive coordinator, that's the strength of their team. So their defense is going to be good. So it's going to be a very defensive-minded game this week on Sunday. The two defenses are really going to dictate who wins the game. But at the end of the day, I like our quarterback better than their quarterback. So I think we'll gain our identity a little faster than most of the teams in this division.
Yeah, and before you let us go, just preview what you think about the Eagles and Washington on Sunday.
It's going to be a tough victory, you know. I mean, it's almost like you have to go with the under because the offense is, you know, they don't know what they could do against the team because they've only practiced against themselves. So just because we have our head coach and he's been here the last 5 years and they really know who Doug is, I'm going to go with Doug. And I mean, it's not going to blow them out or anything, but I do think they win by 7.
Okay. All right. I like that. And what are you guys doing for the pre and post game show? You guys, of course, NBC Sports Philly, you, Michael Barkan, Ray Dittinger, and our friend Seth Joyner. How is this going to work?
Well, man, we're just going to we actually social distance in the studios. I won't be close to those guys. You know, we'll be spread out apart, you know, and then, you know, we still going to give you that same fire. We're going to tell you the truth, nothing but the truth. But at the end of the day, we also going to tell you, hey, whether this team is going to be yay or nay, this Eagles team has to go out there and show us something because, hey, it's getting kind of tight for a lot of players on this team and a lot of different contracts they're going to have to really cipher out because, you know, it's a lot of money being over the cap. So I can't wait, man. I just can't wait to see what's going to go on. And we're definitely going to give it to you. You know, Ray doesn't hold any punches back. Ray Dittinger's going to tell you the truth and give you stats behind it. You got, you know, Seth. his glass is halfway full, my glass is halfway empty, and then you got our point guard, Michael Barkan.
Absolutely, man. Everybody in studio, or do you guys have to Zoom some? Because I know Seth is in Arizona.
Yeah, he's going to Zoom from Arizona, man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.